For our scripture reading, we turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Begin reading at verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So far we read from Holy Scripture this morning. And what we've read and the rest of Scripture are the basis for the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 9. There we read, what believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. Dearly beloved, in our Lord Jesus Christ, this Lord's Day is on the phrase, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And the question is, the one question of the Lord's Day, what believest thou when thou sayest this? When you and I say this, what do we believe? That is the question of this Lord's Day. Now, one subject that comes up in this Lord's Day is the subject of creation. subject that we're aware of is commonly denied. It speaks of God who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence. And then the next Lord's Day asks, what dost thou mean by the providence of God? And so when we come to this Lord's Day, we do talk about the subject of creation and the importance of teaching the truth concerning creation. And that we're thankful that we have schools where the truth concerning creation is taught. We see that there are many that deny what Scripture says about creation. Some that will say that it's really not significant what your view is. But we understand it is very significant indeed. God has taught us the truth concerning creation, and it is important that we confess it from the heart. But we also, when we look at a subject, and today the subject of creation and the subject that God is our Father, one thing we take note of is when you look at the Scriptures and you wonder, how does Scripture bring up and apply this doctrine, the subject of creation? Where would you look if you were studying and wanting to learn more about the subject of creation? Where would you look? Where do you think the Scriptures speak quite a bit about the subject? It is interesting when you search the Scriptures on various subjects, you take a certain subject and you search the Scriptures concerning it, and sometimes you can find certain areas of the Scriptures where there's quite a bit on the subject. So even though you can find the subject mentioned in various places throughout the Bible, there can be certain places where there's a higher concentration of references to this subject. And if one was wondering, now where would those be when you talk about the subject of creation? Where would one look? Well, someone might think, you know, right at the beginning, in the book of Genesis, and in the beginning there you're going to have some references. And of course, we look there. But it is interesting to note that there are quite a few references in the prophecy of Isaiah. If one was to look, for example, at the Hebrew word translated create and where that word appears, we see especially in Isaiah, in the prophecy of Isaiah, there's repeated references to this subject. And it is interesting to see how God applies that, comforting us, his people. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, he is strong in power, not one faileth. And then a little bit farther, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. We think of his power. We think of his wisdom. And then it goes on and talks about he gives power. The Almighty gives power to the faint. And to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. He preserves his people. He upholds his people. And we take note of that in this Lord's Day. We not only talk about how we confess that God created all things out of nothing, but this Lord's Day brings out that when we talk and say, I believe, when we confess with the mouth, from the heart, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and so on, we are saying We rely on him, the Creator, the Almighty, the wise God, the infinite God. He's our God. He's our Father. And I rely on him entirely. I have no doubt. That's what we're saying. That's what we believe. What believest thou when thou sayest this? And then we make this confession. Say, this is what we believe. That the eternal Father of Christ is, for the sake of Christ, his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely, I have no doubt, no doubt. And you think of this in whatever trials you and I and our family, our churches, whatever difficulties we may be in. I have no doubt, but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, I have no doubt that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. I have no doubt about that. We consider this Lord's Day under the theme, relying on our Father. We consider, first of all, the Creator. We talk about creation and the fact that the Creator is our Father. Secondly, his counsel, which is referred to. He upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence. And thirdly, our confession. Relying on our Father, the Creator, his counsel, our confession. First of all, with regard to the Creator, we take note of the fact that our Father is the Creator, and then that the Creator is our Father. So we'll look at both of those. First, that our Father is the Creator, who created of nothing. We confess that, and it is important that we confess that. Creation is not eternal. And it didn't make itself. You think of how many there are that, well, they may confess that they're Christians, and yet when you ask them, how do you think all that we see here, how do you think it got here? What are your thoughts about the beginnings of the heavens and the earth? And how many will go to the world and explain things the way the world explains it? We know that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We know that God created of nothing the heavens and the earth. And all that is in them, in 6 days, real days. Many people say, whether or not you think those are real days, that's really not all that significant. The phrase that people use, they say, that's not really a salvation issue. It's not really a, you can hold that. That's all right if you hold to that view. But if we hold to a different view, that's not a problem. Well, we say that's what the scriptures teach. Nobody goes to Genesis 1, for example, and comes away doing exegesis of that passage. Nobody comes away with the thought that these are extremely long periods of time. You don't find that from the text. Rather, that's from listening to the world and what the world says, and then going to the scripture, you're going to try and change things so that it will be somehow in line with what the world says. And it's not only in Genesis 1. And our children know, and they're taught at a young age, that each day, it's interesting that In the narrative itself, it talks about each day having an evening and a morning. Makes a specific reference to that with the different days, bringing out these are real days. And we read the Ten Commandments. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. In 6 days. So in the very Ten Commandments, that is stated. And anywhere where that law of God is read, you would have that statement constantly coming up anytime someone would read the law of God. In 6 days. And yet many people deny that that's really true. Another thing we point out frequently is that those that say, oh, they could have been long periods of time, well, that often goes with the idea that there were animals for a long time before there was ever a man. And then when you think of that, you think, animals on this earth for a long time before there was a man. Were those animals dying? Were they dying? People would often say, well, yeah, I guess they must have died. And how is that? For it wasn't until man sinned that the animals would die. And to say that these animals were dying before there was a man goes against that fundamental teaching of Scripture. Serves to bring out when you make an error in one area like that, how it goes against other teachings. God created all things for his Son. We read in Colossians 1, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, by the Son, and for him. And for him. That verse has often been cited as proof of the fact that it was God's plan. God had determined that Adam would fall and Christ would come. It says right here that all things were created for the Son. All things for him. The Belgian Confession, we confess that things were created for the service of mankind, to the end that man may serve his God. For the service of mankind. But then also that other phrase, to the end that man may serve his God. Everything that we have is to be used in the service of our God who is the Creator, our Father, the Creator is our Father. In fact, the subject of him being our Father is stressed in this Lord's Day. One could look at this Lord's Day and talk, you know, at length about the subject of creation. It is important to see that what is stressed here is the truth that God is our Father and that we rely upon him. Who of nothing made heaven and earth and so on, that's actually in parentheses. It says, the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. So that, shortening that, the Father of Christ is, for Christ's sake, my Father, my God, and my Father. When we think of God as the Creator, we also think of the fact that the Creator is our Father. And this section in Isaiah 40 is bringing that out. That in our trials and in the difficulties that we face, we're constantly to think of the fact, well, your Father's the Creator. And to think of that, you know that's true. And someone may ask, well, you know, why are you worried? Why are you anxious? Your Father's the Creator. He's the Almighty God. Certainly, it will be the case that He will provide you. He's able to do that. He's Almighty God. He's able to provide you all things that are necessary for soul and body. And He's also willing. He's your Father. He's the Creator. He's the Almighty. He's your Father. He's faithful. Father, He will do what He says He will do. And Isaiah 40 brings that out. He will do what He says He will do. God is referred to as the maker of His people. It's important to think of that. Sometimes people will say, you know, we're all God's creatures. Well, God created the heavens and earth and all things in them. But it's important to take note of the fact that God makes a reference to Himself as the one who has created His people. And that His people call God our Maker. Or to look and to say it another way, who are the ones that call out to God and say that He is our Maker? Well, in the Psalms, as we sing that, the ones who are saying that are God's people. He's our Maker. You see references to that, like in Psalm 95 and Psalm 100. There's a reference to we call Him our Maker and we say we are His people, we are His sheep. Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. The ones who say that are the ones who are saying He's our God and we are the people of His pasture. The Creator is our Father. He's our Maker. The ones who have God as their Father. The same idea is found in Psalm 100. Know ye not, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people. His people. And the sheep of His pasture. And then you have in Isaiah, one of those passages in Isaiah that speaks of God as Creator says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel. It's Isaiah 43:15. He calls Himself the Creator of Israel, of His people. And that's an important point to see in looking at this whole section in Isaiah that speaks repeatedly about God's work as Creator, is to take note of the fact that He refers to Himself as the Creator of Israel. He's our Maker. We are His people, we who have God as our Father. the father of Christ. And there's other places, too, where we bring up that idea that God is the eternal father of Christ, who is both God and man. And he is, for Christ's sake, our God and our father, our maker, our husband. Isaiah 54, verse 5 says, "For thy maker is thine husband." Our husband, our maker, our father. The almighty creator. Now his counsel. Who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence. We think of God's will. We think of his purpose. We think of what he has decreed. How do we know about the origin? Well, by faith we understand. The worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith we understand. We believe what God tells us in his word. We believe that. God also speaks to us about his purpose. He speaks to us about what he has determined, what he has decreed. He speaks to us about the salvation that we have in Christ. He created things he didn't need to create. Creation was made on account of his will. He created all things as it pleased him. As we say, as it seemed good unto him. We believe the Father, by the word, that is, by his Son, hath created of nothing the heaven, the earth, and all creatures, as it seemed good unto him. Giving unto every creature its being, shape, form, and several offices to serve its creator. Then he doth still uphold and govern them, and by his eternal providence and infinite power, for the service of mankind, to the end that man may serve his God. All things were made for Christ, for us in Christ, for the service of us, that we may serve our God. God has told us his purpose with the creation. And he has told us that he saves, just as he created, as it seemed good unto him, so also he saves and accomplishes his pleasure. When we talk about the counsel of God, it is important to make the connection between creation and salvation. Where many people, when they talk about one, they talk about creation, then they may say that, oh, he created everything as it seemed good unto him. You know, the creatures didn't have any, it wasn't that the creatures willed to be created, but he created everything as it seemed good unto him. Well, they'll say that with regard to creation. But then when you get to the subject of salvation, and you bring up the subject of the counsel of God, then people switch and often talk about how, you know, what God desires is that all human beings be saved. And are all human beings going to be saved? Well, many will say, well, no. Depends on a choice that man makes. Well, one of those, in this very section of Isaiah, is one of the verses we quote repeatedly, where God says, "My counsel shall stand, I shall do all my pleasure." He does all his pleasure. Both when you talk about the creation of the heavens and the earth, and also when you talk about the salvation of his people. In fact, we take note of the fact that when God speaks about salvation, he uses the language and talks about creation. Creator of Israel. He created us in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2, verse 10. We're new creatures, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. And our canons make reference to that phrase and says, and this is the regeneration so highly celebrated in Scripture and denominated a new creation. New creation, a resurrection from the dead, a making alive which God works in us without our aid. Did he create the heavens and the earth with our aid? Well, also with regard to regeneration, a making alive, God works that in us without our aid. There are those that know this language is in the Bible. They know that the Bible speaks about us as new creatures. Sometimes people will quote that verse. We're new creatures in Christ. And yet at the same time, make salvation depend upon the will of man. When we think about the counsel of God, the purpose of God, God always accomplishes his purpose. He created all things by his word, on account of his will, as it seemed good unto him. And so also with salvation, his counsel stands. He does all his pleasure. Now, this Lord's Day and this section of Isaiah bring out that when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we're saying, I rely so entirely that I have no doubt. And so, now you look at that confession. Do I ever doubt that he'll provide me with all things necessary for soul and body? Do I ever worry about those things? Or about the evils that he sends upon me? Notice we say he sends them. Some people wouldn't want to use that language. But it's used here, and it's biblical. Evils that he sends upon me. We make that confession. Someone may think that doesn't sound very comforting, but it is. When you put the whole sentence together. He sends my Father who loves me. My Father, the Creator, he sends these evils upon me. He will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. Elsewhere we say he averts evil, or he turns it to my advantage. And so here it says, whatever evils he sends upon me, in this valley of tears, he will turn out to my advantage. That's our confession. And we don't say simply that he's able to do it. You see how somebody might stop there and say, well, I think he's able to do that. Yes, he's Almighty God. I think he's able to do that. But then the question is, do you think he's willing? Willing to do that? Willing to provide you with all things necessary for soul and body? Willing to make whatever evils he sends upon you turn to your advantage? Do you think he's willing to do that? When we say that we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we're saying, I believe that. I rely on him. I have no doubt that he'll provide all things that I need. I look back at the way he has provided for his people in the past. You know, when we read in Isaiah, you think of the deliverance from Babylon, for example, that God spoke about his people that would go to Babylon. How would they get back from there? If they're taken into captivity and now they're in captivity over in Babylon, how are they possibly going to get back? Well, God will bring them back. And someone may think, I don't know how he's going to do it. God is Almighty God. He's wise. We're to think about him as the creator. We're to think about the depth of the riches of his wisdom. Think of the one whom we're relying upon. It says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? What's the thought of that? God is one who measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. And it makes us think of the God who is immense, infinite, the infinite power of God. Well, that's the one we're relying on. And then we're to think of his wisdom. We think not only of his power, but we also think of his wisdom. His wisdom. It says, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With who took he counsel, and who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment. Well, we read it there. We recall that the similar language to that is used in the end of Romans 11. In the end of Romans 11, when it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? And so on. We think of his wisdom. We think of his power. That you and I in our trials are to constantly think of the fact that our Father is wise. He's powerful. He's wise. He's merciful. He's merciful. He has saved us from our sins. There is comfort. There is comfort for God's people. There is comfort for those who believe. And in this Lord's Day, we're talking about believing mean, it's different if somebody's not sincerely repenting. You know, on Lord's Day 31, when we talk about the keys of the kingdom, how is the kingdom of heaven opened and shut by the preaching of the Holy Gospel? And it says that it's declared and testified to all unbelievers and such as do not sincerely repent. Such as do not sincerely repent. Well, to them, it's declared that they stand exposed to the wrath of God and to eternal condemnation so long as they're unconverted. But what is declared, what we're talking about here, the comforting declaration, it's declared and publicly testified to all and every believer that when they have received the promise of the gospel by a true faith, all their sins are really forgiven them of God for the sake of Christ's merits. All their sins are forgiven. And you think of how that's brought up in the beginning of this chapter. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Pardoned. Those who by the grace of God believe, we are comforted with the truth that our iniquity is pardoned. Christ hath paid the price. And God, our Father, will provide everything we need for body and soul. When we need strength, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? And you read that and you think of God saying, now you've heard this. You've known this. I've known this. The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not. He's neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Notice that phrase is in the context about talking about God as the creator. It's fascinating to see where the scriptures bring up the truth of creation and direct us to think about the creation, that our Father is the creator in all the trials that we go through. That our Father is the Almighty God. He's the wise God. He gives power to the faint. He'll provide for us. He's able. He's Almighty God. And he is willing, a faithful father. There will be evils. He will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. We say, I have no doubt that's true. I have no doubt that that is true. And I can look back in the past, and I make confession too with regard to things in the past, that whatever evils he has sent, he has turned to my advantage. My salvation is entirely a work of God's grace. The Creator saved me from my sins. He sent his son who redeemed me. I am one of those who are his people, his sheep. And I praise him who is our maker. When we make this confession, which we do at Sunday evenings, for example, it's important that we think while we speak. What do you believe when you say this? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And to think about what we say here, which we do confess, we know we don't have perfect faith. We know that. Yet we do, by the grace of God, have faith. And we can say what we say in this Lord's Day. This is what we mean when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord, our God, and our Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for thy grace. We are so thankful for our salvation. As we go through the trials in this life, we rely on thee. We rely on thee who art our Father and our friend. We know thou wilt care for us. We know thou hast been caring for us. Thou hast been providing for us, and we give thee thanks. We know and confess that whatever evils thou hast sent upon us in this valley of tears, thou turnest them to our advantage. And we know going forward that that will be the case. Thou art faithful. Thou art the Almighty. Thou art faithful. We praise thee for thy faithfulness. Guide us, O Lord. Strengthen us. We look to thee for the strength we need. Strengthen us, we pray. And may we serve thee and glorify thy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.